America Weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Christina Staffa.
When it comes to being a guest on this show, you've got to be good to get on in the first place. To come back on, you got to be really good. When you come back for a third time, you officially become a friend of the show. Our next guest qualifies. It is always terrific to say hello to the host of Inside Edition, Deborah Norville. Deborah, welcome back to the show.
If I come back a fourth time, do I get money?
You know what? Hey.
Or a free t-shirt or something?
We have to come up with some kind of a bling bag, I guess, right?
Wait a minute. We do have a mug.
Oh, we do?
You know what? We don't even have mugs at Inside Edition.
Wow.
I have only been here for 20 years. I have mugs from every show that you get to be a guest and they have mugs and I say, could I keep this? They go, yeah, sure, fine, no problem.
I'm sending you a mug.
I will tweet out that mug with a big old smile and thank you.
And
amazing.
And because Christina literally makes the mugs personally.
I do. I make
the
mug.
She does. We did a whole big thing about our personalized mug. We were like thrilled about it like 3 weeks ago.
Literally, you have like your own little wheel. And
yes.
Well, I don't actually like make the ceramic mug, but I do make the design on the mug. I bake it. I make it. You know, it's my own thing.
Good for you. Boy, that's really a one of a kind.
Yes.
You see?
See, we look at it this way. If Limbaugh can have like $75 golf balls and Glenn Beck like some $175 blanket, we could have a mug of our own, and we do, so we're so proud of it. So.
I think you should be. Well done.
Thank you. We will make sure we get you one of those.
Awesome.
All right. There is so much going on. Where do we start? The world just gets busier all the time. We are already into the crux of the presidential election season. We're still, 15 months away from a general election. Donald Trump, the gift that just keeps on giving for the media. It started so early, Deborah. Why do we start the cycle so early?
Well, I would say what's early is that this time around, the silly season began a lot earlier. And I honestly think you have to credit or blame, depending on which verb you want to use, Donald Trump for that. His candidacy has been so unorthodox from the get-go. And I thought it was very interesting, what it was about 10 days ago when Roger Stone resigned, 2 weeks ago this weekend, when Roger Stone resigned as his campaign manager or chief campaign advisor, whatever his title was, he was very careful not to diss the candidate. And I noted that. I thought, wow, he went to great pains to say Trump's supremacy in the polls, Stone believed, was because Donald, not Donald's advisors or not any pollsters, but Trump himself zeroed in on what turned out to be hot button issues that resonated with a lot of people. The first being immigration and those ill-chosen words he had about Mexican immigrants. He may not have said it well, but the essence of what he said evidently resonated with enough people that they said, you know what, I like the way this guy talks. Where it's now coming down is Trump is being asked to be specific about, well, beyond building a wall, what's your solution for immigration? Mm-hmm. And so far, he has been reluctant to be specific because when you're specific, that gives your opponent something to zero in on.
Is he more of a king of soundbite rather than substance?
We don't know. It's too soon to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's good at saying what people are thinking, but don't have the guts to speak out loud. I mean, the debate got something like 24 million viewers, right?
Yeah, it set a cable news record.
Yeah.
And that gets me back to the debate itself. I mean, I know they had to break things up. They had 11 in one and 5 in the other. Was 11 too much? It gets to the point where you barely heard from some of these other candidates.
And Dr. Carson even said that. He's like, I'm glad I'm getting to talk again. I thought I'd made my one appearance. Look, it's uncharted territory for the organizers of these debates, and we're going to see how CNN handles it in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You got to divvy it up somehow. Maybe 10, 11 was too many, but certainly 17 wasn't going to work. The way CNN is going to do it, rather than have kind of the kiddie table debate and then there'll be a break and then the grown-up debate, it'll be one event immediately followed by the other. So it'll be possible for the second round of candidates to bounce off of some of the themes that were discussed in the first round. So I think it may make for a more illuminating experience for the viewer because if they've got 4 hours to devote to this, they might be able to sit there and really get a lot of material consumed in a relatively short period of time. I don't know that most people have 4 hours that they can sit and do anything.
Mm-hmm. But what they do have is everyone has time to be on Twitter. It is amazing now how Twitter is becoming such an integral part of the process.
Well, actually, I'll correct you. It was Facebook on the last debate.
Well, that's true.
Facebook is where all the commentary was, and Twitter stock price actually took a hit because the consensus was that Twitter, which should have owned the arena for reflection and commentary, didn't. Facebook was where people were going to share their thoughts.
That is true. That's where they went. Facebook was the co-promoter of the debate with Fox News. But in terms of Twitter, look at how somebody like Donald Trump has used Twitter in this cycle so far. It's just these random shout-outs that come and these little, you know, jabs here. This one's a loser. That one's a loser. It is amazing how normally a candidate would be controlled by somebody like Roger Stone, by somebody who would be crafting the campaign. But now, all of a sudden, somebody whips out their phone and they can throw something out there, this stream of consciousness, and before you know it, you can say things that really get you in trouble.
Well, someone ought to take Donald's phone away from
him.
I don't think he cares, though. That's the thing. I don't think he cares about getting in trouble or being politically correct. I think he's just saying what's on his mind, and that's his shtick.
I think you're absolutely right, Christine, and in fact, I think he celebrates that. I think that's one of his main marketing points.
Isn't it amazing, though, how eventually the election always seems to come down, though, to that 10% in the middle? We're going to be talking about the same states when all is said and done. We're going to talk about Ohio, we're going to talk about Florida, and that's what will decide this.
Well, but that's how the Electoral College is set
up.
You know, this is a system that everybody voted for and has been in place for a very long period of time. So, you know, don't count John Kasich out because he's the governor
of Ohio. That's right.
And as you rightly point out, that's a really important state when it comes down to it. But of course, you've got to get to that stage in the primary process.
Can we talk about this thing that happens on Fox in Orlando? Did you hear about this, about the anchor that stormed off set when their entertainment correspondent started talking about the Kardashians?
Okay, can I just tell you where I come down on that?
Uh-oh.
This is so transparent, in my opinion.
Okay.
People know. You guys are not based in Orlando, so I know you didn't see it on your local channel.
No.
And so here we are on a national radio show talking about a guy who works on a UHF frequency television station because he acted, in my opinion, unprofessionally and walked away. This was not a surprise to him that the Kardashian segment was scheduled. You and I both know how it works, and everybody listening to this program knows how it works. There's a thing called the rundown.
Oh, yeah.
It's printed in advance. All the scripts are written to it. You know exactly how much time you've got devoted for each story you're going to have in your broadcast. This dude knew, this dude planned, this dude walked away, this dude wanted to make a headline, this dude got what he wanted, and for that reason, I have nothing to say about that dude.
And you know what's the most interesting thing? If it was so alarming to those in the control room, they would have potted him down, and for everybody out there, that means they would have cut his microphone.
I don't know.
This wasn't what was his name? Howard Beale?
I don't even know his name.
Exactly.
But the female anchor he was with looked horrified. I don't know if she knew if he was going to be doing that or whatever, but she looked like she wanted to crawl under a rock and like, or run for the hills or something.
And what she should have done, but again, this is a UHF frequency station in Orlando. This was not, forgive me, I mean no disrespect to anybody there. This wasn't the big leagues.
Right.
You know, anybody else would have said, you know, Fred, you knew this story was going to be on the air. You didn't say anything earlier. Why are you walking away now?
That's
isn't that interesting? To her credit, she's just trying to hold the fort down. Give props to her.
So she's
don't
the new
mention
story.
That man. And you know what?
All right.
I've had it with these people who, you know, another one we did a story about a week ago. These guys who have some. I don't understand this age of oversharing we live in where they have a blog and it's a couple and they put their whole family out there.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I did stories about child sex abuse and kidnapping. You don't put your kid's name on the back of their backpack, much less
their
little face on the internet for the world to see.
That's
but these
exactly
people
right.
do that.
You know, it is funny you said that because that was one of the things I was going to bring up that I saw on your show a couple of weeks back. Yes, the couple that decided to video blog via YouTube their pregnancy and then announcing the miscarriage.
I just think it's disgusting. It's gross.
I've had three kids and I have had a miscarriage. And I will tell you this. At 6 weeks, a missed period is a missed period.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not a pregnancy.
Right.
She missed her period. There may have been, you know, something that happened in terms of fertilization, but it never came. It just, you know, it wasn't...
This was obviously a publicity stunt for this guy and his blog.
And he's quit his job as an emergency room nurse to become a professional video blogger.
I mean, give me a
what
break.
Does that tell you? Yeah, and what gets me more than anything else, and me and my wife, we went through this twice with miscarriages. It is so personal. The idea that you would whip out a camera, if I even went near my wife with a camera when it happened, I would have been long on the couch and long out the house.
Yeah.
And what gets me, too, is it was so graphic, too. He talks about and he shows how he actually had to.
In on the toilet.
Oh, my goodness.
Stop wanted it. To hurl,
no,
and we didn't need to show that on television.
No
I was not
woman,
happy about that.
No woman would be okay with their husband doing that.
Which is why so many people on social media and on their YouTube channel commented that, gee, this looks fake.
Yeah.
This looks staged. And they and the dude's response to that was, quote, take my word for it. Like, excuse me if I don't. The only bumper sticker I ever bought in my whole entire life was a million years ago when I was in college, and it was a journalism convention I'd gone to, and the bumper sticker said, quote, if your mother says she loves you, check it out.
Very nice.
Excuse me, sir, if I don't believe your word.
Hey, Deborah, stay with us. We're coming up on a break. More with Deborah Norville after this. I'm Ed Kalenge, along with Christina Staffo, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend. Think green.
Harris with you. Your grandparents might tell you that plants grow in organic farming are nourished the way they were meant to be naturally, which creates a stronger cellular plant structure, which is actually superior than factory farm-grown food. As such, organically grown foods can be stored longer and have a greater resistance to rapid mold and rotting. So what does that mean to you and me? Well, food grown with organic farming methods is extremely healthy. When there are no chemical pesticides or synthetic or genetically modified organisms used, there simply isn't any of that nasty stuff in your food. And when there isn't that stuff in or on your food, it doesn't go into your body and sooner or later become disease. The old phrase from the 1970s, you are what you eat, is absolutely true. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Where do great ideas come from? We took a chance on a song to find out.
You may have heard of or even remember the band ABBA and their hit song Take a Chance on Me. Bjorn Ulvaeus explained its origin.
He was jogging. The rhythm of his steps just kept screaming these words to him. Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, 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 take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, chance, chance.
Oh, boy. He turned his time away into a song. You just never know where a great idea is going to come from. Isn't it funny how many times it'll happen in a place that you'd least expect, like in the shower?
Or on a jog. You may just find your big idea step by step, and there's a chance it will take you to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.